This Week in Palestine, a service of the International Middle East MEA Center, www.imemc.org, for the week of July 7th through July 14th, 2006.
Israel continues to bomb Gaza, bringing the number of dead in this invasion to at least 80. Rocket fires over the annexation wall from Jenin to Israel. And Israel begins an invasion of Lebanon that leaves 46 civilians dead in the first 24 hours. These stories and more are coming up. Stay tuned.
We'll start off the program with highlights from the Palestinian Center for Human Rights weekly report on Israeli attacks against Palestinians. From June 29th through July 12th, the Israeli army killed 88 Palestinians, more than half of them civilians, and around 34 resistance fighters who were killed in a non-combatant situation. In addition, the Israeli army injured 345 Palestinians. The army fired 110 missiles, hundreds of artillery shells at the Gaza Strip. Targets included the Palestinian Minister of Interior, the Office of the Palestinian Prime Minister, the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, and a number of educational institutions, as well as Gaza's only power plant and three main bridges. The army also destroyed hundreds of acres of farmland and demolished several houses. The Israeli army invaded and reoccupied areas in the Gaza Strip, including Gaza International Airport. The army also prevented Palestinian ambulances from transporting patients to hospitals, including pregnant women.
Israel continued to impose a closure on Gaza's commercial crossings, and people now suffer from a severe shortage of fuel, food, and medical supplies. Many communities can no longer run their sewage disposal facilities, and hospitals are barely able to fuel their ambulances. Yesterday, Israeli troops seized control on Gaza's main road, erected a checkpoint in the middle, and barred civilians from using it. The airstrikes this week targeted three Palestinian families. In Al-Shuja'iya neighborhood, an Israeli missile killed a mother, her 20-year-old son, and her 6-year-old daughter. A second airstrike killed an 18-year-old boy. In a third incident, the army dropped a one-ton bomb on a three-story apartment building, killing 9 members of the Al-Salamiyya family. And in the West Bank, Israeli troops conducted at least 47 military incursions into Palestinian communities in the West Bank, arresting 67 civilians, including 3 children and a woman. They also broke into at least 6 civilian institutions, claiming they were run by Hamas. Israel has tightened its siege on the West Bank, continuing to divide it between north and south and restricting movement in and out of major cities, including Nablus, Ramallah, and Tulkarem.
And now, back to Gaza. While Israel insists that, quote, Operation Summer Rains, end quote, is aimed at releasing the captured Israeli soldier and stopping the firing of homemade Qassam shells, the attacks have focused on civilian infrastructure. Bridges, roads, educational buildings, and civilian neighborhoods have been the target of the ongoing bombing. Over the weekend, Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert rejected Palestinian Prime Minister Ismail Haniyeh's call for an immediate and mutual ceasefire. In exchange for the cessation of launching Qassam shells into Israel, Haniyeh demanded the unconditional release of recently kidnapped Palestinian ministers and lawmakers, a lifting of economic sanctions, and the reopening of Gaza's border crossings. The prime minister said negotiations of the captured soldier could then take place.
Israel rejected the demands and continued its invasion. An Israeli warplane bombed the Palestinian Foreign Ministry in Gaza, leaving 10 injured, mostly in neighboring houses. Tahar Nunu, a spokesman from the Palestinian Foreign Ministry, called the attack state terrorism. The attack came less than 2 weeks after an Israeli airstrike targeted the Palestinian Ministry of the Interior. Meanwhile, just outside of Rafah, 5 of the other 4,000 Palestinians stranded at the Rafah border crossing have died since Israel closed the borders 2 weeks ago and barred international observers, required by law to be present at the crossing, to return. They include 2 women aged 19 and 27, an 18-month-old baby, 15-year-old boy, and a 78-year-old man.
Palestinian medics are now saying that patients at Al-Shifa Hospital in Gaza City and some bodies at the local morgue have unusual burns, raising concerns that Israel was using chemical weapons in its attacks on the Gaza Strip. Dr. Juma Assaqa, the PR person in the hospital, says,
when the shrapnel hits the body, it causes a very strong burns that destroys the tissues around the bones. When those shrapnels enter the body, it burns and destroys internal organs like the liver, kidneys, and the spleen, and other organs, and makes saving the wounded almost impossible. As a surgeon, I have seen thousands of wounds during the Intifada, but nothing was like this weapon.
The Prime Minister of Health has asked for the international communities and other human rights organizations to send medical teams to examine the injured and to verify its reports of use of these banned weapons. Yet Dr. Assaqa stated that, quote, no one has lifted a finger, quote. The medical international community remains silent. The United States has recently vetoed a UN resolution condemning the Israeli attacks against the Palestinian population in the Gaza Strip.
Around 1:30 this Friday afternoon, a peaceful gathering of around 100 people marched from Al-Khadr Mosque, east of the West Bank city of Bethlehem, to the site of construction of the separation wall, in an example of peaceful, non-violent protest. The protest march was met by three IDF jeeps and around 20 soldiers who blocked the path and prevented the protest from moving further. Organizers and participants enjoyed a friendly and unthreatening atmosphere during the protest, which was well attended by villagers, international observers, and Israeli activists. Sami, one of the organizers,
went okay so far because we just committed to the non-violence ways to protest and to give a message. And this is the purpose of the whole campaign. Step by step, we become more and more. We succeed to send a message and to do two directions. Inside the Palestinian community and outside it.
After almost an hour, the demonstration ended peacefully with only one arrest, that of an Israeli activist and film producer known as Rannan. He is expected to be released later today. Today in Bilayin, as 150 villagers, Israelis and internationals, gathered around the village center, there was a special excitement in the air. Mansour Mansour and his wife decided to celebrate their union with a wedding at the gate in Bilayin in front of the barbed wire. Soldiers faced the demonstrators with excessive force and injured 20 demonstrators, three of which were injured by rubber bullets, many of them beaten by the soldiers. Among those injured were internationals and Israelis. Azza, an ISM activist, described the demonstration.
Today's demonstration, it was the usual demonstration. It was also a wedding, the wedding party of Mansour Mansour and Iman Mansour. The intention was to hold the wedding party in the Bilayin outpost.
As usual, they didn't let us pass.
What happened was when we came to the gate, they were more violent than usual. There were several people injured, including one of the soldiers, actually. Mohammed Mansour, several international activists were beaten severely. One of the Israeli activists, Yossi, he's the most seriously injured.
The new Commissioner General of the United Nations Relief and Work Agency for Palestinian Refugees in the Far East visited the Gaza Strip this Wednesday. Karen Abu Zaid visited Gaza's power plant, which Israel bombed, leaving over 750,000 residents without electricity. Abu Zaid also visited the northern Gaza Strip, including the badly damaged Al-Atara area, and expressed sorrow over the bad living conditions Palestinians face on a daily basis. UNRWA created a $170 million emergency relief program to help curb the humanitarian crisis in Gaza. The United Nations World Food Program has also delivered an urgent food aid of $1.4 million donation from Japan to the Palestinians. Abu Zaid called on the international community to do its part. The residents are living without water or electricity for more than 2 weeks, she stated. These conditions will spread disease. These crimes against the Palestinian people must end, and aid should be immediately provided to the Palestinians.
Six Israeli human rights organizations filed a petition to the Israeli High Court of Justice demanding that Israel permit the access of essential supplies into the Gaza Strip. A spokesperson from the organization says Israelis' withholding of food, fuel, and needed equipment amounts to collective punishment and is a violation of international law. These organizations also called for the Israeli army to stop attacking civilian targets such as bridges and power stations. Dr. Shabbatai Gold, spokesperson of Physicians for Human Rights Israel, spokesperson of the Israeli human rights groups.
We have now, yesterday, filed a petition about the Karni crossings and the Kisufim crossings into the Gaza Strip because necessary supplies for the community in Gaza, such as food supplies, basic humanitarian needs, such as medicine, are not being able to get into Gaza right now because of the closure, basically, around the Gaza Strip. There's also a major problem of electricity because the Israelis have bombed the power plants in Gaza.
To alleviate the fuel crisis in the Gaza Strip, the European Union started delivering emergency fuel supplies to hospitals that switched to generator power after the main electricity plant in the Strip was hit by the Israeli warplanes 2 weeks earlier. This aid will be the first to be sent through a temporary funding mechanism set up and approved by the Quartet Community for Peace in the Middle East, which includes the European Union, the United States, the United Nations, and Russia. A second delivery of aid will be issued within the next few days to unpaid Palestinian health employees who have not received their paychecks. Some of them were paid a month earlier. This aid will not cover the paychecks of those people.
The Palestinian resistance fired a homemade shell into Israel from Jenin this week. Israeli forces then invaded the city. The shell fell in an empty area, causing no casualties or damage. Abu al-Sa'id of Islamic Jihad, who claimed responsibility for the launch, said it was a response to Israeli attacks against the Palestinian people.
It is not a surprise that Palestinian factions will respond. The Zionist enemy commits crimes against our people on a daily basis in a systematic manner. They targeted hospitals, universities, and the latest in Jenin was when the special units attacked awake in the city and killed two. Therefore, we hold the Israeli army responsible for all of this.
This was the first successful launch in projectiles from the West Bank over the annexation wall to Israeli targets, which brings into question how much of the security the wall really provides. A previous launching attempt from Tul Karim failed 2 weeks ago.
And now we go to Lebanon, where at least 46 civilians have been killed and 103 injured in Israel's invasion of the country. The most brutal attack since Israel bombed a UN compound in Lebanon in 1996, killing 200 civilians who had sought shelter there. The invasion follows a raid in which Hezbollah, the Lebanese Shiite resistance group that forced Israel out of Lebanon after a 22-year occupation, captured two Israeli soldiers and killed eight. The two captured prisoners are bargaining chips to secure the release of some of the 9,000 Palestinians and Lebanese being held illegally in Israeli jails.
Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert called the raid an act of war and promised a very painful response, adding that nowhere in Lebanon was safe. Israel's Chief of Staff, Dan Halutz, threatened to turn back the clock in Lebanon by 20 years to the time of the Lebanese Civil War in which Israel killed 20,000, mainly civilians. Israeli troops were dispatched into Lebanon land, air and sea. Within 24 hours, Israel had dropped at least 40 bombs on Lebanon. The targets include Lebanon's only international airport, the main bridge to South Lebanon, the Hezbollah TV station, two Lebanese military bases and a community center. A family of 10 and a family of 7 also perished when Israel dropped bombs on their homes. Israel has now warned residents of Beirut's southern suburbs to evacuate or risk being caught in further bombing. The southern suburbs are home to tens of thousands of Palestinian refugees who fled to Beirut during Israel's 1978 invasion of Lebanon.
And that's just some of the news this week in Palestine. For constant updates, check out our website www.imemc.org. As always, thanks for joining us. From Occupied Bethlehem, This Week in Palestine is brought to you by Dina Awad,
Hanin Amer,
and James Brownsell.